This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. The teacher's strike in West Virginia is now into its second week. As labor disputes go, it is one of America's largest and most disruptive in decades. The strike involves 33,000 workers and has kept 300,000 students out of school for more than a week. West Virginia ranks 48th nationwide for teachers' average pay. 48th. The strikers say their pay and their benefits, especially their health insurance plans, are on the line. But what about the students? How is the strike affecting them? One student group has emerged in Charleston, West Virginia, called #SecureOurFuture. It sent a letter to all West Virginians in support of the strike. Joining us now is Cora Dunlap. She's a member of that group. Cora is a student at Capital High School in Charleston. Cora, welcome to 1A.
Hi there.
So what are you doing with your time off from school? How are you spending the days?
Well, there's a lot going on in Charleston. So some of the time we're down at the Capitol. Some of the time we're, you know, talking to news organizations like this, attempting to correct a lot of the misconceptions that are happening. And a lot of the time it is just people coming to us saying, hey, we have an idea to support the teachers. Hey, where can we go? Where are the picket lines? And us trying to connect people with other people who are doing their best to support the teachers during this time.
What would you say is the biggest misconception that you've been correcting?
The biggest misconception is that this strike is about pay. It is definitely not about pay. It is about the Public Employees Insurance Agency. Their premiums this year skyrocketed, and that's all public employees. And the reason that pay became an issue is because the pay increases that they have regularly do not keep pace with PEIA's premium increases. So they're losing the ability to have good, affordable health care.
I just want to make sure I understand. The Public Employees Insurance Agency, is that like the statewide insurance program that all like government workers pay into, like the state's insurance plan for its workers?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I should note, by the way, we're only speaking to Cora for the beginning of this program, so if you do have questions or thoughts about the West Virginia teacher strike, or if you are listening from West Virginia, maybe you're listening to our friends on West Virginia Public Broadcasting, we'd love you to share what you know about this strike and where it stands right now. Email us, 1A@WAMU.org, tweet us at 1A, or comment on our Facebook page. Cora, talk about that letter that you helped address to West Virginians. What brought that about? What was the motivation for it?
So the motivation for the letter, it really started with us, a handful of students at Capitol have been talking among ourselves about what we could do to really support our teachers in a material way. And the only thing that seemed feasible when it was, you know, 2 days from the start of the strike was for us to all wear purple to give out a message of solidarity with the teachers. And when it started to spread really rapidly, we wanted to be sure that everyone who wore purple and everyone who saw people wearing purple really understood what the message was.
Why purple?
And, you know, we wrote that letter sort of as a manifesto.
Right. What made you decide to wear purple?
Well, there are two major teachers' unions in the state of West Virginia, and they each have a union color. And a lot of the teachers who, you know, our union members were wearing their union's color in the weeks leading up to the strike. Some of them were wearing red and some were wearing blue. And we wanted a way to distinguish ourselves from the teachers, but to make it very clear that we were with them. So we picked a mix of the two colors, which was purple.
Talk about how this dispute with the teachers was playing out on campus. What did you notice, if anything, as a student? Did the teachers talk about it? Was the mood different? Were classes different? How was this playing out for you as a student before the strike?
I think the mood was certainly different. There was a lot of chatter pretty early on. There had been a handful of strikes, one county at a time, before the statewide teacher strike. This sort of was on everyone's mind. Everyone was talking about it, whatever. And teachers are not permitted to talk about it while they're at school, and they're definitely not allowed to talk about it with us. So most of the time, it was a lot of students asking a lot of questions and being told, you know, I'm not at liberty to say. And so people had a lot of questions, but people, students particularly, really supported their teachers because we spend so much time with them and we understand, you know, what a commitment it is to become a teacher. And we want good things for these people who, you know, do great things for us every single day.
Clearly, some of you can empathize with what's going on in West Virginia. Doc wrote on our website, the1a.org, in Kentucky, a new graduate teacher earns an average starting salary of $38,000 in the public school system, but this young teacher is also expected to begin work on their master's degree within 2 years. The average time it takes them to complete their degree is 3 years. The cost of this education is $60,000. The state covers none of that. That means that over the first 5 years, this teacher is spending $12,000 per year for state-mandated postgraduate education. Is it any wonder our school system is struggling to keep the most talented teachers? Cora Dunlap, did you see anything like that in West Virginia, teachers struggling just to remain in the classroom?
Yeah, absolutely. What he's describing in Kentucky is pretty close to a typical salary here. There are some who make significantly less. I think there's a teacher at Capital who's making about $34,000 a year. And it is a major issue, that all of these teachers have taken on a lot of debt in some cases in order to have these degrees, in order to be able to teach and do what they believe, you know, they should be doing and the job that can help them help the most people. And I think that, it is pretty fundamentally unfair that they're not compensated adequately.
Now, there are two large arguments, it seems, that are kind of the pushback to this. Number one is that the strike is illegal, presumably that there's a clause in the teachers' collective bargaining agreement that says that they will not strike while the contract is in force. And two, you have West Virginia State Senate President Mitch Carmichael, who says that the pay raise might not be affordable and says that any extra revenue should go towards shoring up that statewide health insurance program, that the money just isn't there, even if the teachers do deserve more. What do you say to that?
Well, public employees in the state of West Virginia are not allowed to strike or collectively bargain. And you're absolutely right. A lot of people do say this is illegal, so it sets a bad example for students, whatever. But my answer to that is that following the law to the letter is no substitute for honest moral courage. And that is what these teachers and all of the school employees right now are really putting on display. They're making the right choices even when there's potential of consequences for them. They're standing up for what they honestly believe in and what is right.
I should note that just before we went on the air, I'm just noticing this tweet now. West Virginia Governor Jim Justice tweeted the following, quote, "We have reached a deal. I stood rock solid on the 5% teacher pay raise and delivered. Not only this, but my staff and I made additional cuts, which will give all state employees 5% as well." Continuing the quote from the governor's tweet, quote, "All the focus should have always been on fairness and getting the kids back in school," unquote. That is a tweet from the verified Twitter account of West Virginia Governor Jim Justice. Cora Dunlap, I'm not sure if you were aware of that tweet before we went on the air, but from what the governor says just within the last 15, 18 minutes, it would seem that some kind of a deal has been reached. Does that sound solid for you? 5%? Is that about what the teachers were asking for?
Well, so there have been several times where it looks like the strike is about to end. And one of them was, I guess, 7 days ago, really, on Tuesday, when the governor had a closed-door meeting with union leaders and a few other important officials, but not actually anyone in the House or Senate. And he said that they had reached a deal. He was going to do this 5% pay raise and that students would be back in school on Thursday. Clearly, that did not happen. So I don't have a lot of faith in the governor's promises. I am going to, you know, absolutely look into it. And I think that it will be an excellent thing if we get back to school. But it will not be a good thing in the event that we're going back to school and there's no fix for PEIA. And teachers' grievances really haven't been addressed appropriately.
I know we're low on time with you, but can you talk a little bit more about how this is affecting your classmates? I mean, this is March. I'm sure that there are plenty of seniors who are mildly freaking out about things like AP exams. What about the impact on students? I imagine that a number of your classmates are ready to get back to class sooner rather than later.
I think all of us are ready to get back to school, but we do understand that what is happening is important, and we don't expect our teachers to sacrifice a living wage for us to, you know, get back in class in time to have the correct number of instructional days before our AP test. And I think that, you know, the things that affect students the most are the lack of reliable childcare and the lack of availability of school lunch, right? And that is devastating. There are kids who are getting two meals a day completely free, and their families depend on that. But the first thing that teachers did when organizing the strike, one of the first things, was to start gathering food. They were, with their own money, buying groceries to send to distribution points all around the state. And so they're doing their best to support teachers, to support their students appropriately while they are not at school.
Right.
And I think that students understand that what they're doing is very much about the students. They are attempting to secure a future for West Virginia where we have qualified, reliable teachers mm-hmm. in every classroom.
Black Adder tweeted, as a product of a West Virginia education, I say pay the teachers. 5% is too low. Cut the payments to the House and Senate and give them 10%. Cora Dunlap is a high school student at Capitol High School in Charleston, West Virginia. Cora, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you so much.
Should note again, Governor Jim Justice of West Virginia tweeted just minutes before we went on the air that a deal has been reached. NPR will continue to keep an eye on that. Keep an ear out on your NPR member station and online at npr.org. When we come back, we'll talk about the Kerner Commission report from 50 years ago, how much has changed and how much has not. I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.